Right back at it on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Welcome into our Leaf Hour edition of our program. Nick Kyprios, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Jake Schultz. And for the second consecutive day, let's welcome in Gord Stellick. In for the vacationing Justin Bourne and looking mighty, mighty fine, Gord.
Well, good to be back, you know, so I was kind of casual yesterday. Tonight, the longest running sports media dinner, I believe, in Toronto. Anyway, the Conn Smythe Sports Celebrity Dinner. So it benefits Easter Seals kids. And we've got Scott Morrison, Nelson Millman, Christine Simpson, like a lot of alumnus from here. we're a part of it. So anyway, Sammy's going to be down there later. You've been there the odd time, right?
I have. Haven't you? Yeah, I've done a few over my career.
You've been a head table. You should be a head table
I
guest.
I have been. I've been on the head table.
Did I interview you or did Christine?
I think you did.
Did I ask good questions?
No.
Okay.
No, I had to ask you to repeat it because I didn't understand it. So far, just me and Andy Brickley.
What'd you say again?
Well, listen, if we can't have Justin Bourne here, you are probably third or fourth.
I know.
Choice. Two and three couldn't make it, but, you know, thanks for coming.
Well, like I said, when you would join us on like Landry and Stellick in the morning or whatever we were, that when I was on vacation, you want to get somebody not too good and not too bad. So I think I fit the bill.
Last night, the Toronto Maple Leafs kind of fit that bill. Not too good, not too bad, but ended up being just right with a Mitch Marner overtime goal. The Leafs rally late to defeat the Boston Bruins. And I think we got a little bit of everything out of this hockey game. Unfortunately, maybe a couple of injuries as well. In about 40 minutes, we'll welcome in our orthopedic surgeon to the pros, exclusively on Real Kipper and Bourne, Dr. Jason Smith. Doctor?
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 Okay. He's
doctor.
A real doctor.
Yeah, right. And we'll get his thoughts on
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor.
And
on
doctor.
Chris Tanev, who was lost real early in this hockey game and made it real taxing on five other guys, but give the Leafs credit. They found a way.
Well, you know, weren't they up by three game seven way back when in that very building, right? And so it's kind of nice, not so much poetic justice, but just, this going the Leafs' way on a weaker Boston team. But Kipper, yesterday, I think we're talking about it off air. We're just talking about, okay.
I think on air, too.
On air, too. Well, yeah, we had two hours to talk.
If they dropped, if something lo and behold, happened to Chris Tanev.
Exactly. Just about, you know, just the depth needed on D. That first goal was so bizarre. First of all, people, David Pastrnak. And I don't know, McCabe did kind of a dive, which kind of blocked Tanev. And then all of a sudden, Pastrnak's got that goal. And then the next shift is when, on kind of an innocent-looking play, which quite often injuries happen, all of a sudden Tanev's out of the game. And then at the end of the game, I never really saw what happened to William Nylander. Boston lost Trent Frederick, which is, I mean, that's significant because he's a bona fide trade deadline guy they're looking to sell, you know, much like Yanni Gord's been out in Seattle for a while. So you wonder, will he be healthy in and around the trade deadline? But I give him to come back from a 3-goal deficit and Mitch Marner scoring the big goal again. Okay. So I hope these are all positives when it leads into the playoffs. I mean, they can't be anything but positives.
All of a sudden, Mitch Marner just excellent at TD Garden. What a turn of events. You know, a week before that, he's setting up one of the bigger goals in Canadian, you know, recent memory. And then he goes there and he has two goals, including a beautiful overtime winner. He's flipping the script, bud.
Is that your way of saying, like, this would be a good time to play the Boston Bruins now in the first round?
Yeah, they'd probably still find a way to lose to them. I don't know how. Maybe not after watching them last night. Yeah, you know, I think one of the bigger takeaways, we could talk about it a little bit amongst the three of us, is that's a brutal loss for the Bruins. Like that, the way finding a way to lose that game, especially after how the Leafs looked, that's a brutal loss.
Let's go to Craig Berube on our first Kippers Clipper of the day on his overview of the game, and then we'll get into those details, Sammy, out of Chief.
Yeah, it was a great character win. I thought their guys pushed in the second, pushed in the third, and you know, did what we had to do in the OT. But, you know, it was a lot of we were aggressive in those two periods. Like, we wanted to start that way. But we didn't. But they did a great job of battling back, and our goalie made some big saves for us.
We didn't.
I like, first of all, Sam, I hope there's more than three people talking about this. I hope we have, like, listeners and viewers on top of the three of us. Otherwise, we might as well shut it down.
Yeah.
Isn't this different than Mike Babcock? Remember Mike Babcock's sermons from the mount? Every post game, it went like 9 million directions, and this is the way it is. And you talk about
Sheldon was much different too.
Yeah, yeah. So this is plain English. And
I think his sound bites, Berube's sound bites, are no different the way he coaches and the way he played. It's like straight lines, short and sweet, simple. If you have something to say, get to it.
End of story. That's it.
End of story.
What it boils down to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, get it done. Get it done. And yeah.
So there was a part of me that watched Pastrnak go in there and bury that first goal. And I'm like, well, that alone had a different feel for Stolarz last night. Right?
Yeah.
Where it's like he's down that early. I can't recall another game where it's like first shot on goal, basically, and Leafs are down. Usually Stolarz would have found a way to make that save. And I'm like, maybe this is the off night we've almost been waiting for on Stolarz all season long. And even though they dug themselves in that hole, it's always that next one that goalies cannot give up that will give your team the no hope, put it that way. And he was unbelievable. And yet we say it again that Marner doesn't have a chance to do what he did at the end of the game without Stolarz, like, doing what he did last night. Another game where you can argue that the Leafs had every reason to lose that game.
Well, that save in overtime when, you know, he was being run over and Boston's all over them, and it leads to that goal. You know, the good part was coming back, because that Pastrnak thing is kind of a nightmare visual, because that's how the season ended last year. That it seemed like a harmless face-off, and then all of a sudden, guys, the sea parted, and he put the overtime goal in, where last night the Leafs had the pressure early on, and then son of a gun, there's Pastrnak, sprung free, the one guy puts it in, and then after that, that's the key. You're right about the goaltender. Just keeping wits about it. It's like a great starting pitcher in baseball that gets rocked a little bit early, uncharacteristically, but all of a sudden goes in and gives you the good six or seven innings and lets you get back in the game, and certainly that's what Stolarz did.
We joked a little bit about it on Leafs Talk after that. You know, I hate to do it, but, you know, if Samsonov's in net, that's a 5-0 first period. But I don't even know if you just have to go to Samsonov. I do dump on him quite a bit. I feel badly.
Gord, a lot of years of just that bad type of inconsistent goaltending.
No question.
It's not just Sam. A lot of goalies around the league, that is a 3 or 4, maybe 5-0 first period. They were all over the Leafs. And even at the end of that period, was it Geeky? That the puck fell on his stick and he stretches across and makes those two unbelievable saves. Yeah, like I can't say enough great things about Stolarz. It's just the only question is health. And he missed some time already, and he's looking really good. He's jumping around. He battles. Like, it's a really, really appealing style of hockey to watch for him. He's been great.
And depth scoring, Kipper? And Sammy, you know, again, you know, you got Robertson, you got Holmberg, you know. It's funny, they were kind of on there by default because the line stayed out so long, right, at the end. But they got it done with the goaltender. Like, it's what the Red Wings are doing right now, finding ways to win, right? And it's been an interesting collection of games since the break, the way the Leafs have won different types of games. Big lead over Carolina, hang on for dear life at the end. Game against Chicago, got to beat them, you beat them. Last night, the reverse, you fall behind, you find a way to come back.
From Gord Stellick to the head coach, Craig Berube, on Robertson and Holmberg.
Clip 3.
He's scoring right now, and he's working and competing, and he's confident, right? Gives you confidence, same as Homer. So great job by those guys. You know, the other guys were out there, got tired. Good change by those guys, you know. Not overextending it, and, you know, the other unit went out and got the job done. I thought, though, in the third, that we did a lot of that, you know. Good changes from the offensive zone and getting fresh guys out there and rolling them, and guys did a good job of that.
The assumption probably majority of the season is, like, find a trade partner for Nick Robertson. And I don't know if he couldn't or he did, and the deal wasn't to his satisfaction, but somehow, some way, Nick's put himself in a position to be hanging around.
Yeah.
And it just seems like right now there's a sweet spot right now for him. And what do you do now, Gord? Do you let this thing ride out? Is he a guy that you envision that can contribute in the playoffs? Or if you find something, you move off of him?
Because it's funny, last year Bobby McMahon kind of took that sweet spot away from him. Robertson played more games than I really thought. He got more goals than I thought. He did better than people think. But to answer your question, I can't see teams come a-calling for Nick Robertson, okay? Because that's the kind of thing, like, say, in the offseason, for argument's sake, the Chicago Blackhawks or, you know, Anaheim or San Jose. I mean, the teams that are looking to rebuild are looking at that kind of addition. So I think Nick Robertson stays and, like everybody, see what they can do in the playoffs. And if you have a big playoff, that really elevates your stature within the team. If you have yet another disappointment, well, then, once again, everything's up. But I think he's a guy that I can't see a market out there for him on a trade deadline deal. So he's ours, yours, Leafs, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer.
I think it's
sickness and in health.
I think it's a tough one, though.
Death do us part?
Not anymore.
Don't you think it's a tough spot that they're in here? Because this is exactly what you would have wanted from him all year. And I don't think he's had stretches like this. Coming out of the break, the three games that he's played, he's been really, really good. And they've desperately needed depth scoring for how long on this team? And, you know, we've been tricked by Robertson in the past where he's had great preseasons. He's had good stretches where you're like, well, you know, they're finally getting what you need from him. But I'm caught on both sides of this conversation. Like, you know, is he more likely to have some value right this second than he ever has? Kipper? Probably. Like, if you send a pro scout out to follow the Leafs after the Four Nations break and you've watched these three games, you could probably trick yourself into thinking that he's a contributor and could be part of a package for something, no?
Yes, but...
What kind of package? Around the trade deadline, there aren't these packages.
Yeah, there are packages.
Not really.
No, the packages... I get what you're saying.
Well, they come from San Jose to Dallas. I mean, that's the thing. Granlund and CeCe.
If there's a middle team that needs to either take on a little bit of salary or another contract, then these type of guys can get thrown in any scenario from here on in. I want this piece, but I can't get this piece unless I get rid of this guy or this guy. And it's like, okay, I'll take him. That's the scenario that you still pitch if Nick ends up being part of a trade.
Right.
Other than that, there's not a contending team right now going, we got to get Nick Robertson.
Yeah. No, exactly. But
so that's not in the equation. And if there's a lesser team out there that's missing the playoffs that would like to take a flyer on him, go get him in the summer. You don't have to go get him now.
Well, that's what I mean. And also about, all these particular variables in the playoffs, like if one or two can pop, Nick Robertson could be one of them that all of a sudden become difference makers and hopefully going. And, you know, again, it's funny because Jordan Binnington, what he did, and a lot of people said, well, yeah, 6 years ago was a long time, Game 7 against St. Louis. Well, he showed that 6 years ago he could still do it in 2025, come up with the big game. And that's where in some ways they go, well, 2019 was a long time for Craig Berube. I know that was 6 years ago when they won the Cup. But that year, I always think about 15 different forwards he used in the 12 spots. And there just seemed to be a way somebody came in for a couple of games and was the right spice there, you know? And you did it in New York with the Rangers, a lot of different, you were part of it, like a lot of different pieces that went in and out. Maybe sometimes it's a little bit luck, whatever, but other about that. So having all hands on deck for the Blues that year won them the Cup. And I could see that being a way you're going to go. Like, they can't do a Philadelphia-Calgary trade, right? I mean, that was a real hockey trade, what the Flyers and the Flames did. But I don't think the Leafs are looking at that right now about just doing like kind of a couple of players trades.
But just speaking of Jordan Binnington, he is on my latest edition trade board 4.0.
Sportsnet.ca.
Sportsnet.ca.
Tantalizing read, Kipper. I was just turning pages this morning.
For the latest. And we'll get into it a little bit more in our national hour when we welcome in former NHL player agent, general manager, Brian Lawton. So stick around for that as well.
So I just wanted the Nick Robertson continued conversation. I will say that last night is probably the most impressed I've been with him in his Leafs career, maybe. I'm trying to think of a game where he had as much impact as he did last night.
It's just the goal, though. When the puck crosses the line, it gets the most attention. Yeah. He's actually played with a lot of fire, and he's played with a lot of competitiveness, and Berube's been saying that all year long. And, yeah, there's times when he's not in the lineup, but for the most part, when he's been in it,
He's got energy,
and he has been noticeable, with the exception of shooting it in the net. Now that it's going in, guys like you notice him.
Well, I love Sammy's best game ever. Sammy's got a lot of best games ever, which is great.
He's got a short memory, though.
Trying to think of a game where Nick Robertson was as engaged physically, makes that play where he beats a guy that's twice his size along the sideboards to set up a game-tying goal. He's whacking at Swayman. Yep. He's getting engaged physically. Like, that's a guy playing with a ton of confidence, and I can't remember him looking as good as he did last night.
No.
We've watched a lot of games.
Full marks.
He was really good. So he's tricking me a bit.
You'd be a good example, in all seriousness, about times when you felt really confident and times when you said, geez, every game I'm going out and I'm nervous, I'm going to be a healthy scratch next game. And the difference it makes. And I think, to Sammy's point, that Nick's got a little of that mojo back about all of a sudden that every shift is not like I'm on probation again versus, okay, I got a chance to kind of take a little bit of a run at this.
It could have been him chatting me up at the casino night charity event
there you go.
Three or 4 weeks ago. Well, I think it might have been a turning point for him.
It was for me. I wasn't even there. But yeah, and for Sammy too. We chatted for Sammy.
Yeah.
He didn't chat me up. But no, I just think he's been really good since the break. And he's tricking me a bit here if he's not going to continue to play like this.
Okay, let's dive a little deeper into Chris Tanev's injury because Craig Berube spoke of it last night. Let's go, Derek, to clip two, and then we'll get the latest update from you, Sammy, today.
Plays against all the top lines, shut down. You miss a lot of things, you know. Penalty kill, you know, just all the hard work and gritty stuff he does on the back end. And, you know, leadership, there's a lot of stuff you miss. Just like, you know, he's a very important player for us.
Sure is, man.
And Craig today at practice said they got good news on Tanev, and he is day-to-day.
Wow.
Uh-oh. But not expected to play against...
dreaded day-to-day.
I believe he may have said the exact same thing about Anthony Stolarz, who missed from mid-December to the start of February.
6 weeks.
Yeah, so...
42 days.
Day-to-day.
Yeah.
Technically, it's day-to-day. So
Matthews, day-to-day for about 4 weeks, maybe.
Yeah, Berube said that Phil Myers will draw in for Tanev on Friday. So he's confirmed not playing Friday, and they didn't go beyond that. But I guess you have to take him at that to believe he's not lying and say that it's good news.
Well, you got some guys like Hampus Lindholm in Boston, Andrew Copp in Detroit out for the season, right? So that's what you hate to hear. And
yeah.
You know, we're kind of in Toronto, like Florida's talking about the Matthew Tkachuk situation, like fully expecting and should be in the playoffs. So about getting that particular player 100% for the playoffs is key.
The one thing that kind of worries me is that it was a hit that we often see along the boards. It wasn't much. And that's the only thing that kind of you might be a little concerned about, because this guy has taken his lumps. There's been a lot of wear and tear on this body.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times, you know, when we first heard about the signing of Tanev, is like, okay, but can he stay healthy? How often have we seen him over his career come out of a hockey game and sometimes to come back and not, sometimes not? But this hit to me wasn't anything that you go, okay, that guy could be hurt.
Yeah. Well, but you know, quite often those innocent plays.
Yeah. No, for sure.
I don't know what the exact application of the word injury prone nowadays versus injury being part of the game. And also, when you play like Chris Tanev, that's part of the game. You talk about an honest guy, a physical guy, you know. So we keep adding the proviso. It's understood about staying healthy. We get it. The Ottawa Senators are dealing with it now, and if they don't deal with it right now, they're out of the playoffs today. And if they don't deal with it, they're going to be further out of the playoffs. So that ends up, you know, the best teams overcome the injuries, right? Whatever the injuries may be. And so that's going to be a bit of a challenge. They overcame it when they had a whack of forwards out right? They had a whack of forwards that were out, not just Austin Matthews. So this on the D part, we're gonna find out some of the depth of the D. Hey, Morgan Riley getting 4 points last night. You know, he plays a different role than Tanev. We know that, but that's part of it is contributing offense. And, you know, that been not his forte this season, but that was a big night for him as well.
I think if you're picking a time for a guy to get hurt, now would be the ideal time if he was going to miss some before the playoffs start. Truly. Like, I mean, they're solidly in a playoff spot. You don't want...
For the record, nobody picks a time to be hurt.
I understand that. But I'm saying as a fan, if I was going to pick a time, late Feb as opposed to April 15th would be the time I would pick.
You know when I would be really impressed with that comment? If you actually picked it before the guy got hurt, not after the guy got hurt.
Well, I wouldn't pick it. I would pick him not to get hurt. That would be my ideal pick.
Do me a favor for Friday.
Pick one.
Pick a leaf. Pick a leaf.
No.
To get hurt for Friday.
No, I won't do that.
Well, they'll come looking for him Monday.
I won't do that.
You do that. You do talk about superstition.
It happened last. I think it happened earlier this year with Stolarz. Remember when I said, he could get hurt tomorrow, and then he did get hurt the next day. So
what have we learned? Anything today about Willie Nylander not finishing the game also for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Berube didn't go into any specifics. It's from David Alter on Twitter. Berube didn't go into any specifics with Nylander other than to say there was some contact in the third and they were being cautious and that he was going to get a day off today anyway. Shrugged it off as maintenance. So there was a long list of guys absent from practice today due to...
He likes days off, I'll tell you that.
Tanev, Riley, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Oliver Ekman, Larson, and McCabe, all were off the ice.
Anybody except... The guy that did not finish the game, and I think we saw on TV his glove was off. Some speculated a wrist injury, a hand injury, a broken fingernail.
Well, I keep going back to in the playoffs, we saw Austin Matthews going for goal number 70. Then we saw him missing games. We saw Willie Nylander unexpectedly missing games. We saw a different goaltender in game 7 because Joe Wall got hurt in the last second. You know, so these types of things are going to happen. Kippy, what I got to ask you, what a great trip. Boston and New York? Like normally you don't get those kinds of trips. Yeah. And I know it's not the end of the world if you lose, but there's nothing better than winning and the buzz and the energy when you're on your trip. And you're in two great cities like that. Like, this is very unusual. Usually you're in and out in those kind of spots. So never mind about bonding. When you win, bonding comes naturally. If you're losing right now, the Chicago Blackhawks ain't bonding, okay? Right now, teams like Seattle ain't bonding. Nashville's not bonding. This is a real nice spot to be right now.
Just one more thought on Willie Nylander.
Mm.
His head. Headaches.
Okay.
A physical game last night. Mm-hmm. Any concern that...
So you're going back to the playoffs.
How can I not?
But wasn't it his wrist that was bugging him?
I don't know.
They didn't say.
They didn't say.
So,
but would
had his glove off?
Would there be any concern at all about?
Yes,
his head.
Of course. I don't
last
know how
night.
I didn't see anything specifically happen. Like you said, it was a physical game. I didn't see one particular moment where he got jarred or anything. But it's something I think you always have to worry about. But if I was going to play fake doctor, even though we have a real doctor coming on today, when they showed him on the bench. Gloves were off. He was kind of looking down. Looked like his hand was shaking a little bit. So maybe it's in his hand or wrist reason. But definitely you have to worry about that. And for any fan watched last year, for him just to kind of disappear on you when he was one of their better players down the stretch, it's something you got to always worry about. So I hope he's all right and plays on Friday night. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe miss a game or two. We'll see.
So, you know, players like Nolan Patrick never got their careers going, right, with those kind of injuries. And then with Sidney Crosby, seeing him again in an elite game, you know, you're doing hockey DB, and you look and you forget. You know, remember how few games he played for 2 years?
Yes.
Remember when you thought Sidney Crosby wasn't going to play?
Yep.
And that was like 12 years ago. You know, and every case is different, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, whether it's Nylander or others, like, you know, really the hope is, and there's a very good chance that it becomes one of those things and you're able to hopefully move forward because City played hardly any games.
Yeah, you look back on those years for Sid, not to get too off topic here, but he was 41, 22, 36 through those 3 years. And you look at his point total now, that probably cost him a chance of getting 2,000 points. Anyways.
You mentioned Morgan Riley. He becomes the third defenseman in Maple Leaf history to record 500 points with a club. You, of course, know the other two.
Boris Salming.
Yep.
Yeah. Who's the other one?
Thomas.
Oh, Caberle.
Caberle.
The restaurateur.
Exactly.
It's a good restaurant, but I think he has a couple, right? Does he have a couple restaurants or just one?
Yeah, I only know the one on Yonge Street.
Right. Okay.
All right, let's go to Craig Berube's thoughts on Morgan Riley joining an elite group.
Yeah, he's been a great player in this league for a long time. You know, he made a great play tonight on that Robertson goal, but he made a lot of good plays. He's, like I said, this is going on for a few weeks now where he's way more involved offensively, more aggressive, making plays, and confidence, right?
I think so. I remember when it was really not going well for him, and we had the conversation with you, Bornie, and I about what he needed to do to look better. And you said that he would just needed to play faster. Do you think that's what's changed here?
Yeah.
Just more decisive, quicker. And why do you like
quicker decisions, less tentative. I think he's found his, we'll use it again, sweet spot right now for where he needs to be on this team. So sometimes you can overthink, you can overanalyze, you can overworry, and I think he's a little freer in his head right now playing the game.
Well, Berube used that word again, confidence. We were using it for Nick Robertson. Like, you assume just because someone's been around for so many years that it's an automatic, but, you know, you go through ebbs and flows, and that could have been a part of it as well. Because, the decisiveness is one thing I notice. You know, like Drew Doughty's always decisive, right? He always knows what he's going to do. I mean, he's just a very confident, decisive guy and always plays that way. And I think in Morgan Riley, you've said, and I'm glad it was addressed, like kind of, hey, it was kind of obvious, right? We've seen the best of Morgan Riley, and we've seen when it wasn't the best, which was a big chunk of this season. And I think, again, that C word, the confidence, is another big part.
Matthews and Marner. Berube spoke about them after the game. I thought it was a bit of an interesting comment, and then we can talk about it after. Clip 5.
Yeah, he's, you know, I mean, I think that him and Austin have, you know, been a little bit tired for me, but I thought they showed a lot of grit tonight, a lot of determination out of them. Willie, too. But, you know, Willie's a little more rested, right? But Mitch had a heck of a game, played a lot of minutes, overplayed him, but killed a lot too many penalties tonight, so he was used on a penalty kill, and I mean, he was an excellent player tonight, I thought.
What did Marner finish with, 26 or 27 minutes, Sammy?
I'm just quickly pulling it up here.
Last night? Like,
I looked at it last night.
He was, you can tell a coach can feel a little guilty over doing it. You just heard
what
Berube.
About that play on the non-goal in overtime?
Oh my God.
Like, oh my
the
God.
Kick, the kick
yeah.
up to...
oh my goodness. Tavares. Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
25-41 last night for Marner.
That's huge minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even debatable who his most important player is outside of, obviously, the goalies now. But
okay, but let me ask you a question, Kippy, you being the professional athlete. So, the tired part. So, first of all, he'll, you know, obviously, they had back-to-back games on the weekend. This one's a little more breathing room, you know, like a game on a Tuesday and a game on a Friday and a game on a Sunday and no ridiculous travel and that. I think I said it yesterday as well. I think in life in general, when we're younger, we got a ton of energy, physical energy. And I just think quite often it's the mental stuff that can get you down. And I think as much, that's why it's good to have off days and whatever, just about like the mental exhaustion, you know, that kind of grind is more than, because you want to play hockey. Like you're young and you want all the minutes you can, and you can actually handle it, right? So, I mean, so the tired part, how would you quantify it?
I would quantify it as Craig Berube throwing it out there and kind of lumping Mitch in it to kind of protect Austin Matthews.
Okay, the guy who looks tired.
The guy who really looks like he's not firing on all cylinders.
Well, he's not 100%.
He looks like, I mean, quite frankly, he looks like half the player he usually does. You know, I
couldn't agree more.
Oh, come on, half? No,
half,
no, no.
Half,
no, no, come
half.
On. Come
he,
on.
No.
He almost won it for Team USA, him, whatever. It wasn't.
Gord, he can have his moments, and he had one last night, but he was sucking wind beyond belief last night, late in the game. Boston gives him a platter, the puck on a platter, and he fires it off a crossbar.
Right.
Now, you could have said he could have scored last night and tell me the same thing. He scored a goal. He's great. But no, Gord, okay, you watch him from start to finish.
I'm just arguing about 50%.
He looks like really any other forward out there until he finds a way to shoot the puck, and that part can be impressive. But the rest of it, he does not have the power, the jump. I go back to...
Well, no, I don't argue with that. I'm just saying he's not like Matthew Tkachuk or Chris Kreider in the final game where Team USA should address Kyle Connor. Like, you don't want to end a game and both guys could only play 8 minutes and, you know, aren't... Whatever. So, yeah, he's not... I don't know what...
Is he at 60% for you? 70%? Like, what is it?
I should come up with a number. I'll do 70.
70?
That's what I got in high school. The odd 80. The odd 60.
I'll go with my high school. 55 to 60. That's usually where I was.
Kipper?
Sweet spot.
Yeah. What'd you get in high school?
Yeah, I'm with Sammy.
Are you?
I mean, the reason I'm sitting here is...
I was A. A's.
Oh, yeah.
You weren't hanging in the smoking area, George Vanier, out there? No? Remember they had smoking areas?
Gord, that's just you and your brother. Don't lump me into this.
I don't know. It's just a... Maybe it's the jump. Maybe it's the... But, like, when you think about last year, Gord... When he scored almost, he was unbelievable.
No,
and people are saying, well, his defensive stuff's really good. Yeah, it used to be that you got both, where he was unbelievably defensively.
Could he just be like a little mentally fatigued? Like, could he just have hit a wall a little bit? Like, he's...
Don't you get tired of being hurt all the time? He's been hurt a lot. He's had ailments a lot.
Yeah, no.
You know?
For sure. And there's something to be said about this mysterious injury all season long, which... Until someone tells me differently, I got to think it's a back or a lower back, which can obviously affect everything you do. But like, there's no spark. There's no jump. There's no... Sometimes you watched him at the height of his career, and he could have two guys hanging off his back, and he won't slow down.
Okay, so you and I both write Toronto Star columns. I had an idea, too, but you already took it. Couple weeks ago, so when I was, whatever. So Dave Washburn got
back
to me.
Don't leave your briefcase around.
Goes, Nick just wrote about that last week. I said, shoot, I didn't read it. Then I read it after. So anyway, what I had talked about was, like, Wendell Clark was the first guy to go to London, England. I talked about all that thing all those years ago, right? And Lord Thompson set him up with his guy. And now Austin Matthews has gone to Germany. And it's not uncommon nowadays. Like, you go, you know, but when you're going out of North America, it kind of raises your eyebrow, like, why are you going outside North America? And in Wendell's case, as you remember back then, there was a question, you know, career question was, but it was like two solid seasons at least that he languished. And then he got going. And I don't, you know, so I'm just saying that kind of timeline comparable nowadays, there's a lot more, there's a lot more available, you know, whatever, but just some there. And if you're going to Germany to try to figure something out, whatever it may be, it's there, and it's got to be mentally tiring. It's got you can't be in 100% shape and all those kinds of things. So I will concur with you on that, but I'll give him better than a 50.
I do think that there's a, amongst Leaf fans and kind of bubbled up and with some of my buddies and on Twitter and other places that, like, you know, second guessing the Four Nations, his involvement, him going. But I can't talk out of both sides of my mouth on that one in terms of how much I loved it and how passionate it was and how, like, how great it was. And then, you know, Matthew Tkachuk can't even play. McAvoy's out for maybe the year. Like, it's hard to second guess that now, but he just doesn't look the same and it sucks.
And it just, a short while ago when he was scoring 60, close to 70 goal seasons.
Yeah, well, one away, yeah.
There wasn't a shift that he wouldn't come out on where you go, like, he could score. He could score. Like, there was a... He was a threat every shift he went out there. Mm-hmm. It was like a goal a game should be easy for this guy. The way he plays over 60 minutes, it's not unheard of to score a goal a game. And right now he can't, what is it, 10 games, Sammy, without shooting it past a goalie? He's only got the one empty netter. And
his last goal was against Columbus. Is that correct? Outside of the empty netter. Columbus, was that on a goalie?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Kind of can't remember.
What did he end up with last night? Two or three shots on goal?
He ended up with four shots on goal.
Four shots on goal.
Yeah, what you're not seeing 100% was, like, when he gets the puck, and first of all, he gets the puck, and then it's like on a string, on a stick, or it's like he's a lacrosse player.
Yeah.
He does that, and you go, oh boy, he is going to fire it as good as anyone else in the NHL with the trajectory, the speed, the accuracy, you name it. And that's, yeah, that we have not seen this year. But last year, boy, oh boy, every time he got it, you could see everyone, the heebie-jeebies, because, like, this guy is going to fire a beauty.
Well, you got no choice but to patiently wait for it to come back.
And
okay.
He's still got 48 points in 43 games playing at what in my high school average of 55-60%.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we return, Dr. Jason Smith, and we'll get a little bit more into shoulder injuries. And, again, good news out of the Leafs. They're going with the day-to-day. But we'll get Dr. Jason Smith's thoughts, orthopedic surgeon, after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Sammy McKee, Gord Stellick, and in the house, Dr. Jason Smith, orthopedic surgeon.
Doctor.
Not bad. How are you? It's been a while, but
and
guys have been relatively healthy up until last night. Therefore, outside of you maybe helping me get Gord Stellick to ask clear, concise questions, we've got an issue with Chris Tanev and the shoulders. And I think the latest we heard, Doc, was they think it's day-to-day, which must be great news if it's actually true. But different type of shoulder injuries. I assume that you saw the hit last night on Chris Tanev. Your first thoughts were a number of different injuries, situations?
Yeah, so, good to talk about shoulders. I think we were talking about knees so much all at the start of the year. So good to hit on shoulders a little bit here. My first thought on seeing his hit. So he's going in and he hits his right shoulder. So he's a right shot defenseman, hits his right shoulder, and that shoulder drives into the glass and drives forward. Now, kind of three things you think about with that is, one, the shoulder itself. That's a pretty common pattern for dislocations. So a shoulder could have actually subluxed out or popped out, and it pops out the front in that position. The second thing you think about, and you see this all the time in hockey players, is AC joint injuries, where your clavicle comes in and attaches to your acromion. So AC joint. And you go in any locker room, NHL, minor league, you can see so many guys with these little clavicles that are popped up.
You want to see mine right now?
Yeah, exactly. You want to see mine? I have a grade two. You have more of a grade three. So, right?
Keep your shirt on, buddy.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, you can see it. It's
So how much time do you miss?
You know what? This was a season ending. I had a screw actually put into it, like in the mid-80s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's caveman stuff now today, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's all super suture and magic potion for sure, man. So that's kind of thought two. And then, thought three, you always worry about that same mechanism. That's how guys break their clavicle. Now, if they're calling them day-to-day, it's not a clavicle injury. So we're now thinking, AC joint, or maybe did his shoulder kind of shift in and out there. The thing I did notice, though, is that when he was skating back to the bench, he was holding his stick in his right hand and he was bending his elbow. That when you dislocate your shoulder, like, you don't want to pick that up. Like, you're just standing there, that arm's kind of going numb. You're not holding your stick with that arm. You're getting to the bench, but you're not holding anything with it. So if I had to guess on which of those three, I'm saying, maybe a little AC joint injury, or maybe just a little shift in his shoulder and not a dislocation.
And that typically can settle down within 7 days. Could we see him back as early as next week? Can it heal that fast?
Yeah, so let's talk about AC joints. They can. It's a very stable joint. And if you get one of those little grade ones, I mean, they're sore, but it's pretty stable. It's not like you're risking his career by, sending him back early. So it really just depends on, how tough is this guy and, how soon can he get back? Now, this is as long as it's not popped up and sitting around his ear like yours. You know, if it's just a little separation, grade one, maybe grade two. And we rank these like grade ones, yeah, 1 to 2 weeks, grade two, 2 to 4 weeks, grade three, once it's starting to be like yours, you're thinking 6 weeks or surgery. So grade one, yeah, you can get back in a week, 10 days. Sure, not out of the question.
So my shoulder's fine, but I got a rash that won't go away. Can I get your opinion? No? Okay. Anyway.
Wrong doctor. Okay. I'm just the bone and joint guy.
No. Well, I got to give it a try. Got to give it a try. So I would think, doctor, that, okay, the fact that Craig Berube comes out today and says day-to-day that, you know, my memory is there's certain things like they'd say, okay, we got to wait till the swelling goes down and we'll make an assessment and maybe need surgery. I know, I remember Stewie Gabbin earlier, just whatever, hitting the boards, and right away you knew you're going to need surgery. So, I mean, would that be something definitive at that point, that if it was that serious, they'd be saying, this is the deal? Like, or are they waiting a couple of days and it could still be that kind of deal? Or what he said today is more along the lines of, you know, you giving your very educated assessment?
Yeah, if he's telling the truth, right? But this is T-minus 8 weeks till playoffs, right? So this is where, like, this is a big confusion of information going out there. So, you know, if it was something that was, you know, a six-weeker or more than that, I think they're probably going to still call it day-to-day. I mean, honestly, my experience listening to these coaches and stuff divulge stuff leading up to playoffs. That being said, he's been a pretty straightforward, like, guy, you know, up to this point, that he hasn't, like, kind of led us astray. So, you know, I think him saying day-to-day, plus with what the injury looked like, plus him holding a stick and skating to the bench, I'm pretty optimistic for Leaf Nation that, you know, it's going to be, you know, a week or two and you're going to see this guy back, at least practicing hard.
Doc, one more for me quickly before we let you go. And that's, I know it's a Leaf Edition show, but I want to ask you about Matthew Tkachuk. We all suspect some sort of torn groin injury, whether or not we'll see him from the regular season, or they go to a long-term IR, they go get they trade for a guy, whatever the case is. But the difference between a partially torn, a complete tear, like, what are the odds of this guy coming back and playing the Leafs in the first round or the second round and beating Sam's Leafs?
Man, you know, great question. Like, a complete tear is really hard to come back from in 6 weeks for a skater. So if that thing's tore off, and they're thinking surgery, yeah, you're hoping for next season. So even, you know, a high grade two, 6-8 weeks, that's a tough one to come back from, because that's the, you know, leg coming back, the speed muscle for skaters. That's a real tough one. That one worries me.
There you go, Sammy. Good great. News for
great.
You.
Great. Good.
Hey, Doc, really appreciate it, buddy.
Yeah, and, great to see you as always.
Where can you send that cream for the lower body injury rash us, Gord
right?
has?
He's got to peel down and show us, or else, you know.
I'll talk to you at the faculty wine and cheese about it, okay, next week, right? How about that?
Sounds good. Sounds
all right. Good. Thanks for joining us, Doc. Right. Dr. Jason Smith, who is your orthopedic surgeon to the many other pro athletes.
See, that's a real doctor compared to Berube he sounds like Berube sounds like he's at Jiffy Lube, you know, about your kind of thing. So you'd kind of leave scratch your head. You know, this guy gives you the good straight goods.
We have a few minutes left in the Leafs hour.
Yeah.
I would like to read a paragraph from your trade board today. Is that fair? Is that allowed?
Sammy, you are the reader on our show.
And it's not a good one. So here we go. In the East, the Florida Panthers could be a team in the running for Rantanen if Matthew Tkachuk's long-term groin injury potentially ends his regular season. And don't rule out the Toronto Maple Leafs either, as they could acquire Rantanen as a bit of a security in case Mitch Marner decides to head to free agency on July 1st. They could seamlessly replace Marner with Rantanen on a line with Austin Matthews, and could probably get an extension done.
Stirring the pot, woo! Kipper.
That's juicy, baby.
Anything you disagree with, or?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just reading. Yeah. I don't really have a.
Yeah.
What do you?
I think absolutely that Brad Treliving is looking at all options, mm-hmm. and that would be one of them.
So how much did they retain? Can you retain again?
you can retain again. Carolina can retain again 50%. So okay. That's 50 Chicago has and up to 50% Carolina. He could come, he could be traded to the Leafs as if the Leafs are picking up a contract for $2.3 million, which is less than Lawton, which is less than a lot of guys.
You're talking as a hired gun.
As a hired gun to play alongside Mitch Marner in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And then, because now Carolina, the owner, has not had a propensity to spend money. So if they're going to retain money, obviously that's added value, that more assets have to go Carolina's way. But, boy, thinking big. Florida won the Stanley Cup last year, and they very well could get Seth Jones. Bill Zito has a relationship with him. You know, I mean, just so that's – hey, Vegas has done it every year. You think big, right? You think big. You go after the big fish. I like it.
Sammy, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, I like it, bud. I like it a lot.
You don't have to give anything up at one point. Well, you love it. But
the only thing is the assets that it would take to satisfy Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing for Leaf fans is that you are in high competition with pretty much every competitive team going into the playoffs this year who can easily add a $2.4 million contract. And that's pretty much everybody can make room for that. So now we're into, well, what are the assets?
That's the question that I have.
They gave up Marty Natchez.
Yeah.
They gave up.
More than that, but I mean, Marty. Yes. I mean, they gave up a real player.
And they're going to want a real player back.
Yeah.
And so that would be off the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, the way Nick Robertson's playing,
his best game ever.
We declared him an untouchable last night.
That's true.
Sammy,
he's an untouchable.
Oh, no.
With Holmberg.
Yeah.
With Holmberg.
Yeah.
But is there I can't really think of the match on the Leafs roster that would satisfy them, like a, you know, in the
They also don't really want futures because their future is now Carolina.
It would have to be a decent, if not significant, top six-ish roster player.
Well, that's when maybe you do the three-way trade, that someone that likes Easton Cowan and or Fraser Minton or whatever it may be.
Correct.
And you do it that way, the three-way
Correct.
Trade. I mean, Jimmy Correct. Rutherford and Patrick Alvin did a pretty good job in Vancouver about dealing with JT Miller and, you know, get a couple of different, you know, different place, different trades to try to correct it.
John Tavares, the Carolina Hurricane? I'm joking.
Yeah, that's not happening. John's not going anywhere, and it doesn't sound like it. It really sounds like he'd love to sign a contract now, but I think the Leafs are smart. It's like, John, you're not in your prime, mm-hmm. and we know that you don't want to go anywhere, so we're not in any hurry.
So, Kippy, you are the trade guy. Yeah, Sportsnet.ca, you're doing a lot of these trades.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody that, because I like to be known as the guy that used to be that guy.
No, but you're in it every day. I said that to you. Like, everyone devours it. Everyone loves this stuff. This is sexy stuff. This is salacious sports stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was sexy until you brought up you had a rash.
Maybe you could just redo my cream. I don't actually need to see him. I get a refill.
But yeah, you're right. You're right. It's the fantasy of what you envision your team and what it could look like in a very short while, and what you think you may need to win a Stanley Cup. And yeah, it's a fun time of year for sure for everybody.
But that's what Vegas did. Eichel, Mark Stone. Whenever that player was out there, They found a way to get him.
I got a lot of names that are being bantered about now, and it's legit. Their names are out there. Like I said in Sportsnet.ca, St. Louis Blues have got a lot of guys out there. They may look at one or two, but it's not a fire sale. It's not like everybody. Doug Armstrong's trying to trade everybody, but it's like, where's the fit?
You're always talking. Always.
Gord, you lived it, man.
No, I know. You're always up
you,
to the trade.
You were there.
Always are. Always are. You talk to another GM, then you kind of, hey, how's it, whatever. Then you go, by the way, you thinking of doing anything? Do you like somebody on our team? Whatever.
Well, we got you all week, so I want to get into a few conversations you've had over the years as a general manager. I think it would be terrific insight, and we got plenty of time to do it the rest of the week. So,
should I go home now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good.
No.
I get to stay for the national
right there.
Hour?
We go national next with former general manager Brian Lawton. Don't go away.